Pick up the authorized version of the Word of God and turn over with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the first Gospel of the New Testament. And we're reading at the chapter 20, at the verse 30, and then over into the chapter 21. Matthew 20 and verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, 'The Lord hath need of them,' and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass.'" And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down the branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called the house of prayer,' but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased, and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. And now prepare us for the message. And to this end I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. The Bible is the book of all books. It is about the person of all persons, the Savior of the world. This book is called the Word of God because it has been given by God and written down by men as a revelation of the divine and eternal person of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God himself. All the divinity of the Bible, all the originality of the Bible, and all the immutability of the Bible is derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all its information and inspiration. It is not liable to any variation. It remains forever as Christ remains forever with God, and he himself is God. It's a book of grace. It's a book of truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now at this time of the year, we think of the first advent of Christ, the coming of the incarnate Son of God into this world, his virgin birth, and his life on earth, and his death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension to God's right hand, and the gospel work that comes because he appears in the presence of God for us. But I was struck this week as I read my New Testament to discover that all through the Gospels there are narratives of the coming of Christ. He comes from one city to another. He comes from one place to another. He comes from doing a miracle at one place to doing another miracle in another place. Various comings, various advents of Christ. And then as I looked at them more closely, I found that every one of them had a strange resemblance in some way, either by contrast or comparison to the great coming of Christ and his birth at Bethlehem and his work on earth. And I was struck with this passage of Scripture that I read to you tonight in the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel and the 21st chapter. Here we have the advent of Christ. He is coming from Jericho and he is coming to Jerusalem for his last visit to the city of Jerusalem. There is a verse in Isaiah which tells us of the mystery of Christ's incarnation. And the question is asked, how will this eternal miracle take place? How will God, whom the whole world cannot contain, will be born as a babe, scarce as man? And the Bible gives the answer. The zeal of the Lord will do it. The zeal of the Lord is the power behind the advent of Christ. And the zeal of the Lord makes these other advents, which the great advent itself includes, it makes them special, for the zeal of the Lord can do it. In Matthew chapter 20 and 21, there's a long section of the coming of Christ, as I have already said, from Jericho to Jerusalem. And you'll notice, first of all, in the verses I read to you in Matthew 20, verses 30 to 34. You will notice that there is a call beyond rejection. There's two blind men, and they are calling for Christ. They call him by a special title. They call him the Son of David. When you're reading the Gospels, mark how many people in the Gospels called him the Son of David. And you will be surprised at who they were and in what circumstances did they call him the Son of David. This was a call beyond rejection. Do you know how many times the gospel tells you that Christ stood still? Well, start reading the gospels and you'll discover how many times Christ in all his ministry stood still. And Christ stopped and the men went on crying, but they would not be silent. And they came and they got sight for their blinded eyes and they followed Jesus in the way. At the first coming of Christ, it is revealed to us in the mystery of the gospel, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, that there were two people who had been praying for his coming. And they had prayed a very, very long time. The first one was Simeon, and the second one was Anna. And they prayed for the coming of Christ. And as this call in Matthew chapter 21 could not be rejected, God could not reject the call of two people if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. I heard an old preacher once preaching a peculiar Christmas sermon, and his title was, Jesus Christ was born in answer to an old woman's prayer. I was greatly struck, and the preacher was right. Notice the strange parallelism between this coming and the coming that we're reading about in Matthew 21. But then, come a little farther, and when you come to chapter 21, there is a ride beyond conception. There never had been a ride like this before, on an ass's back, as a ride that is described here. But then do remember another ride which the Lord Jesus took. He took that ride as a babe in his virgin mother's arms from the Holy Land right down into Egypt to flee from the destroyer, the wicked murderer, King Herod. He took that ride. But here is another ride beyond conception. The ride of Christ into the city. Go back to the minor prophets, and you'll have already read this morning, we read it together, of the prophecy of this ride. It was prophesied that Christ would take this ride. And it also was prophesied that Christ would come out of Egypt. Out of Egypt have I called my son. See, this book was not written by men. When the apostles wrote down these facts, they hadn't an inkling of how they related to the first coming of Christ. But these are the mysteries which prove the inspiration of the Bible, that this is not man's book. Oh yes, man was told to write it, but God told him what to write. And then as we move down, we find a reception beyond dreams. In verse 8, what a reception the Lord met with. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? A great difference between this reception and the reception that was given to Jesus when he was about to be born. There was no room for him in the inn. Notice the contrast. So he was left in the cattle shed, and his cradle was a manger, and his blankets was a straw, and his birth dressing was a swaddling clothes wrapped by his tender mother's hand. What a contrast in that advent and the advent we're reading about here in this chapter. And then as we come down to verse 12, Jesus comes to the temple. The temple. When Jesus commenced his ministry, the first Passover, the three Passovers in the Lord's ministry, the first, the second, and the third. At the third Passover, he was preparing for his death. But at the first Passover in his ministry, you'll find it in John's Gospel, chapter 2. He did something. He cleansed the temple. So this cleansing of the temple we're reading about here in chapter 21 of Matthew is a different cleansing of the temple. He cleansed the temple twice. He commenced his ministry cleansing apostasy out of God's house. And he finished his ministry on the same way as he commenced it, cleansing the temple. Jesus Christ didn't change like some preachers change. They start off cleansing the temple, but at the end of their ministry, they're absolutely stained with the very sins that they sought to cleanse. But Christ cleansed the temple twice. And this is the second cleansing of the temple. He comes and he tells them the temple should be a house of prayer. Ye have made it a den of thieves. What an apostasy. God's house of prayer made a den of thieves. The cleansing beyond the first. So the first cleansing took place at the commencement of his ministry. Please contrast it. Read carefully that passage in John's Gospel, chapter 2, and compare it with this, and see the comparison, and see the contrast. But something else happened here. If you look at verse 14, there was a great healing. The healings beyond stopping. They couldn't stop them. You know, when Christ commenced his ministry, they tried to stop him healing people. And he had to fight a battle to be allowed to heal. And it says on one occasion he was very angry. And he was very wroth. And he rebuked the leader of the synagogue. Because the leader of the synagogue said, "You cannot heal here on the Sabbath day. You are committing sacrilege to heal in the synagogue on the Sabbath day." But here we have healings that no one could stop. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The great physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest carol ever sound is Jesus. Blessed Jesus. And if you're here because you're blind because of sin, if you're in this service tonight and you're lame because of sin, thank God Christ is here to heal you, to cleanse your sins, to forgive your iniquities, to pardon all your faults and transgressions. Wonderful, blessed name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But let us pass over quickly. We come now to the criticism beyond contempt. What do these religious leaders do? When they see these wonderful acts of healing, when they see the wonder of the incarnate Son of God, when they hear the, even the very children praising the name of Jesus. They were sore displeased, verse 15. And the Lord turned up and he says, have you never read the Bible? That out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. All through the Lord's ministry, every step of his advent on earth and every step of his advent in his ministry of 3 years in Galilee, Samaria, and in Judea, the Lord was under savage attack, under a criticism beyond contempt. And it never ended. And even as he hung on the cross, they cast their contempt in his teeth. The blessed Son of God, brought into contempt by the wickedness of men. And we need all remember that that's what is the nature of our hearts, destroyed by sin. It was you, my sins, my wicked sins, his chief tormentors were. Each of my crimes became an ill, an unbelief, the spear, the criticism beyond contempt. And then you'll notice the Lord left. And where did he go to? He went to Bethany. He went outside the city. And we find here the lodging beyond the city. Why was that? Because the Bible taught that if we're going to find him, we'll not find him in the city. We'll have to go to him without the camp bearing his reproach. And that's what Christ came in his first advent. He left the city of God and he came down to this world to be outside the camp, to deal with our sins, to deal with our wickedness, to drink the cup of our damnation, to endure the horrors and the darkness and torment of our sins, that we might be forgiven. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, sealed by his precious blood. But coming from Bethany, and Bethany is the house. The word Beth is the Hebrew word for house. Bethlehem, that's the house of bread. Bethany is the house of figs. And in the morning he's coming into the city, and he had not broken his fast, and he was hungry. And we find in the way there was a fig tree. Please notice this carefully. Why not a vine? Why not an olive tree? Why was it a fig tree? The first Adam came to a fig tree. What did he come to a fig tree for? To get leaves to cover his sin. The second Adam, the last Adam, came to the fig tree, but he was not looking for leaves. He didn't need any leaves to cover his sin, for he had no sin. He was looking for fruit. Notice how carefully the Holy Spirit writes this. Verse 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. Jesus Christ had no need of leaves. Every one of those leaves was an insult to his matchless holiness and invincible purity. He didn't need them. He wanted fruit, but there was no fruit on the tree. And he said, there'll never be any more fruit on this tree. And presently the fig tree withered away. And the disciples saw it. They marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? The tree beyond use. And then the Lord speaks. And he tells us about a faith. Look at verse 21. If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Here is faith that is beyond all opposition. Nothing can stand before this faith. That's why the Lord says in his gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved at thy house. Only believe. What is believing? Believing is receiving. In the first chapter of John's gospel, the Lord Jesus himself spells out for us clearly what believing is. And it says, but as many as received him. Chapter 1 of John's Gospel, verse 12. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing is receiving. The man believes who receives Christ into his heart. The woman believes who receives Christ into her heart. The child believes who receives Christ into their heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And last of all, you have the prayer beyond resistance. Each Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. Now, I want to make a claim tonight. If you study the Gospels and study them properly, you'll discover that every advent, every coming of Christ, to here, then, and there, and yonder in the Holy Land, has a direct parallel in comparison and also in contrast with the overall advent of Christ to this earth. Why? Because it was God that wrote this book. And he wrote this book for one purpose, that you might be saved. Dear sinner friend, trifle no longer with the Spirit of God. Say no longer to the entreaty of the blessed Savior. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. And peace and pardon and life everlasting will be your portion. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm here to help you. There's a room here on the right hand side. I'll be in that room after the meeting. Do come and see me. Let us get this great matter of peace with God and salvation by his blood settled for all eternity. May there be an advent into the sinner's heart tonight of the blessed Savior. Savior of man.